الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. The title of this lecture is The 25 Promises of Allah to the Believers. The idea for this lecture started when I was thinking about what to talk about. So an idea came to mind, and that's to go through the Quran and see what Allah has promised الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So I went through the ayat to see what did Allah promise المؤمنين or الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Whenever an ayah would mention الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا or المؤمنين, I would look at what would Allah promise them. So I didn't look at what Allah promised المتقين. I didn't look at what Allah promised الذاكرين. I just looked at what Allah promised الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, the believers. And I came up with 25 promises of Allah to the believers. So Allah has promised them a lot. And when Allah promises you something, you have to take it for granted. That if you are a believer, it will happen. And if it doesn't happen, then there's a problem with my belief, problem with Iman. Because Allah Azza wa Jal does not ever not fulfill His promise. وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. Allah will never forsake His promise. So what does Allah promise the believers? We're starting from the end. It's now the beginning. That is Jannah. A lot of these promises relate to dunya, but this promise is Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةٍ رِزْقًا قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَهُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but give glad tidings to those who believe and work righteousness, that their portion is gardens, beneath which rivers flow. Every time they are fed with fruits therefrom, they say, why? This is what we were fed with before, for they are given things in similitude, and they have therein companions pure and holy, and they abide therein forever. The promise of Allah Azza wa Jal to the believers of giving them Jannah is sufficient. We don't need to talk about the other 24. Just this one is enough. Because when you think about what Jannah is about, compared to what dunya is, and compared to the other option, which is Jahannam, this is sufficient. In fact, this is more than what you asked for. And it's more than what you deserve. Rasulullah ﷺ says that no one will enter Jannah except through the mercy of Allah. Our deeds do not qualify us for that. If it isn't for the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, our deeds wouldn't even qualify us for a second in Jannah. Because Rasulullah ﷺ says in the hadith, on the Day of Judgment, Allah Azza wa Jal will bring the believer who suffered the most in this dunya, and Allah Azza wa Jal will dip that believer in Jannah for one moment. And then Allah Azza wa Jal will ask him, oh my servant, did you ever feel any suffering in your life? He'll say, oh Allah, I've never felt any suffering at all. So one moment in Jannah is sufficient to make him forget all of the pain and suffering of the dunya. While on the other hand, Rasulullah ﷺ says Allah will bring the non-believer who had the best life in this world, and Allah Azza wa Jal will dip him in Jahannam for one moment and tell him, oh my servant, did you ever have any enjoyment in your life? He will say no. One moment in Jannah is sufficient to make him forget all of the enjoyment that he had in dunya. Rasulullah ﷺ described Jannah to us. And after he gave an elaborate description, he said, فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. In Jannah are things an eye has never seen, an ear has never heard, and a mind can't even imagine. Think about Jannah as you like, as much as you want. You're not going to get there. It's way above all of your expectations. Watch the best Hollywood movie that talks about pleasure and enjoyment. It's not going to be a fraction of what you'll get in Jannah. Rasulullah ﷺ saw it with his own eyes, and he tried to describe it the best he could. But he knew very well that the Sahaba wouldn't be able to give it the right estimate, because if you didn't see it, you cannot imagine it. The language can't even express it. Our language will fail to express what is in Jannah. Even if you try to think about it, you can't comprehend it. For example, you can understand what a million means. You can understand what a billion means. But what does infinity mean? So when it says that you're going to live in Jannah forever, you're never going to die. There is no end. Your mind cannot understand that. Do you know the implications of that? Do you know the implications of living in Jannah forever? It means that if you see something that you like in Jannah, for example, you're walking next to this river, and you see this bird on the river, and you like it, you could just sit there and watch this bird for a million years. What's the problem? You don't have any appointments? You don't have any work? You're free to do whatever you want. You want to stay there and watch it for a million years? It's up to you. You read about the story of Musa in Quran and you want to know more about it, you can make an appointment with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and go and spend a few years with him. It wouldn't be a few moments, sorry, I'm busy, I can't spend a lot of time with you. Spend as much time as you want. You can go and spend time with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. As much time as you want. He's not in a hurry, neither are you. When you think about the territories that you'll be given in Jannah, Rasulullah ﷺ talks about the lowest level in Jannah. And Rasulullah ﷺ says that the last man to enter Jannah, this lowest level, this poor man who is at the bottom of the ladder, he owns 10 times the earth and everything in it. So the lowest person in Jannah is at a level where the highest person in dunya that ever lived can't even dream of. Because there's nobody on the face of the earth who ever ruled over the whole earth. You know, all of these kings, when you look at their dominion, it's nothing. I mean, you own a piece of property in London, you think that you're the top of the world. You're willing to work your whole life and deal with interest and do haram just to own a small plot of land, when all what you have to do to get a mansion in Jannah is to pray 2 rak'ah of nafil a day. 12 rak'ah of nafil a day, 2 before Fajr, 4 before Dhuhr, 2 after Dhuhr, 2 after Maghrib, and 2 after Isha, build you a palace in Jannah. That's all. And Allah has promised the believers Jannah. Number 2. Jannah is 1, so this one is 2. Allah promises you life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يوم ترى المؤمنين والمؤمنات يسعى نورهم بين أيديهم وبأيمانهم بشراكم اليوم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ذلك هو الفوز العظيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one day shall you see the believing men and the believing women, how their light runs forward before them and by their right hands. Their greetings will be good news for you this day, gardens beneath which flow rivers to dwell therein, for a, this is indeed the highest achievement. On the Day of Judgment, it will be dark, and you'll be asked to cross over a bridge that is thinner than hair, sharper than a razor blade. And there's no light. So it's impossible, unless you're given light by Allah. This light that Allah will give you, the power of the light will depend on how much light was in your heart in dunya. So this light which is in the heart, which is not a physical light, a spiritual light, will come on the Day of Judgment in a physical form. Will have a powerful beam, thousands of watts. Some people will have a 100 watt lamp, some people will have a 40, some people will have a small bulb. Some people will have such a small bulb that it goes on and off, the circuit is so weak, the battery needs charging. Depending on how much Iman was in the heart, Iman will come on the Day of Judgment in the form of light. Some people, they will have so much light that they could just run over the bridge like breeze, so fast. While some of them can run, some of them can walk, some of them they will have to take a step and then stop until they get light again, and they will take another step. While some of them will start walking on a sirat, but their light is not sufficient to take them through, so they'll fall. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who will reach to Jannah. The Iman that is in your heart today will be your light tomorrow. So you make up your mind on how much light you want to have. Number three, Allah will be with you.
وَإِن تَعُودُوا نَعُدْ وَلَن تُغْنِيَ عَنكُمْ فِئَتُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ كَثُرَتْ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Allah Azza wa Jalla says, for verily Allah is with those who believe. When Allah is with you, what does that mean? It means that you don't need anybody else. Musa and Harun were asked by Allah to go and meet Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salam said that وَلَهُمْ عَلَيَّ ذَنْبٌ فَأَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ. I've committed a crime, so I'm afraid that they would kill me. Musa killed someone in Egypt by mistake. However, the injustice system of Fir'aun sentenced him to execution. They decided that he was guilty of murder, so they wanted to execute Musa. Musa ran away. He flew to Egypt. Now Allah is telling Musa to go back. Not just to go back, but to go back and go to Fir'aun. Not just visit Fir'aun, but to go and tell Fir'aun, listen, you're wrong. And you have to follow me. So obviously Musa was concerned, alayhi salam. So he told Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّنَا نَخَافُ, Musa and Harun said, إِنَّنَا نَخَافُ أَن يَفْرُطَ عَلَيْنَا أَوْ أَن يَطْغَى. We fear that he could harm us or transgress against us. What did Allah Azza wa Jal tell them? لَا تَخَافَ إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. Do not fear, because I am with you. I hear and I see. I am with you. Why are you afraid? I will be with you. احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Be mindful of Allah. Allah will be mindful of you. Be mindful of Allah. You will find Allah with you. If you think about Allah, Allah will think about you. See, الجزاء من جنس العمل. The payback is according to the deed. If you think about Allah, Allah will think about you. If you forget about Allah, Allah will forget about you. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَنَسِيَهُمْ. They neglected the dhikr of Allah, so Allah neglected them. تَعَرَّفِ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَرَّخَ يَعْرَفْكَ فِي الشَّدَّةِ. Get to know Allah in moments of ease, Allah will know you in moments of difficulty. وَالَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ هُدَى. You see guidance, Allah will give it to you. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. They're plotting, so Allah is plotting against them. Allah will give you according to what you're doing. إِنَّ شَيْتَ إِلَيَّ أَهَرْوَلْتُ إِلَيْكَ. If you walk towards Allah, Allah will run towards you. You take one step towards Allah, Allah will take many steps towards you. Allah will give you what you deserve and more. If it's good, And if it's not, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will punish you strictly for the sin. So Allah will be with you if you're a believer. 4. The grace of Allah.
وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُسُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا فَشِلْتُمْ وَتَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ وَعَصَيْتُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَرَاكُمْ مَا تُحِبُّونَ مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةَ ثُمَّ صَرَفَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ لِيَبْتَلِيَكُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَفَا عَنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Allah Azza wa Jal says, Allah is full of grace to those who believe. You know, you believe in Allah, but Allah Azza wa Jal is so generous, so He gives you more than what you worked for. He gives you much more. Musa alayhi salam, for example, he is lost in the desert. This is before he became a Nabi. And this is the story of how he became Nabi. So Musa is lost in the desert. Musa alayhi salam is trying to find his way. It's very cold, night, windy. And suddenly he sees a fire. Apparently only he could see the fire. His wife couldn't. So he said, لَعَلِّي آتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِقَبَسٍ أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدًى. He said, I'm going to go next to that fire, so I could bring you some fire, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَصْطَلُونَ, to warm up in this hot, in this cold night. Or أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدًى, I could find some guidance there. Because when you see fire in the desert, what does it mean? Most likely there's some people there, it's a bonfire. And if there are people there, I could ask him for directions. I'm lost. I don't know where to go. So Musa is lost. He wants to get direction. So he goes there. All what he wants, he's going to be very happy if Allah Azza wa Jal helps him by finding somebody there to give him directions. So he goes to that fire and he does find directions, but not directions to Egypt. He finds directions to Jannah. He goes there, and that's when Allah Azza wa Jal speaks to Musa and gives him prophethood. So Musa was looking for something, Allah gave him something better. Or with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba when they went out for Badr. They had no idea what they're facing. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba, they were in pursuit of a caravan belonging to Quraysh. They wanted to raid a caravan, take its belongings, to compensate for the wealth of the Muhajirun that was taken in Mecca. That's all what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted. And here they are, they end up facing the army of Quraysh. And it turns out to become the most important battle with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba wanted the ghanima, they ended up getting victory and ghanima. So it is fadl from Allah. You want something limited, Allah gives you something more. Allah gives that to the believers. It's fadl from Allah.
Number 5. The wilayah of Allah. Allahu Akbar.
Inna awla an-nasi bi Ibrahima lalladhina ittaba'uhu wa hadan nabiyyu walladhina amanu wallahu waliyyul mu'minin.
Without doubt, among men, the nearest of kin to Ibrahim are those who follow him, as are also this prophet and those who believe. And Allah is the protector of those who have faith. Allah is saying that He is the wali of the believers. Wali means friend, protector. A believer has Allah as their wali. Therefore the believer does not need anyone else besides Allah Azza wa Jalla. If Allah is your wali, who else would you need? Why would a Muslim seek the wilayah of a mushrikeen or of al-Yahud wa al-Nasara when Allah gives you the option? You want to be my wali, all what you have to do is believe. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of His awliya. Because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith of Al-Qudusi, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضته عليه ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها ولئن سألني لأعطينه ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه. Allah says in this hadith al-Qudsi, if anybody takes my wali as an enemy, I would wage war against him. Allah Azza wa Jalla has only waged war twice. He has waged war against the ones who deal with interest, and Allah has waged war against the ones who take his friends as enemies. And then it says, and the best thing you would do to be loved by Allah is by fulfilling the duties, the mandatory, the fara'il. And then the more you do voluntary deeds, the closer you become to Allah, until you become so close that Allah becomes your eye which you see with, and your ear which you hear with, and your hand which you use, and your foot that you walk with. And if you ask Allah, Allah will give you. And if you seek refuge in Him, He will help you. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of His awliya. Number five, the mercy of Allah. You see, Allah is merciful. Very merciful. You could have mercy. But the name of Allah is Ar-Rahim. So the mercy of Allah is on a different level. And to give you an analogy, for example, you know, so that we have a right understanding of the names of Allah. Because some of the names of Allah are attributes that we could describe humans with. So Allah is Al-Kareem, but you could also be Kareem. Allah is Ar-Rahim, you could also be Rahim. But it means a different thing. To give you an example, let's say that you have a child, and you have a friend, and you have a very wealthy friend, and then you also happen to be the friend of a president or a king. If your son comes up to you and gives you half of his chocolate bar, the whole half, you're going to say, man, you gave me half of your chocolate bar. But if your friend comes to you and gives you half of the chocolate bar, that's okay. I mean, you wouldn't consider it to be generosity. But if your friend gives you £100, you're going to consider him to be generous. Now, your millionaire friend, if he comes up to you and you want to borrow money from him and he gives you £100, you're going to think that this guy is stingy. He's wealthy, man. He should give me £1,000. Now, you go, he gives you £1,000, so you say, all right, he's okay. So you go then to the king and you say, we're so close, we're just like this, I mean, I need your help. He gives you £1,000. You're going to say, I mean, what is this? You need to give me £100,000. You need to give me a huge mansion. So how come? Now, imagine if the king gives you, go and ask him for some help and he gives you half a chocolate bar. How come with the child you considered it to be generosity, but you didn't consider it to be with the king? Because the capability of the king and the ability of the king is much different than your son. So with your son, all what your son has to do is give you half a chocolate bar. And he would consider your son to be very generous. But with the king, he has to give you much more. So when Allah Azza wa Jal tells you that He is generous, that is on a level that you can't even fathom. When Allah says that He is Kareem, Al-Kareem, it means the pinnacle, the peak of Karam. When Allah says that He is Rahim, it is the peak of rahmah, mercy. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. So Allah is merciful with the believers. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَيُدْخِلُهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْمُبِينُ. Then as to those who believed and did righteous deeds, their Lord will admit them to His mercy. That will be the achievement for all to see. And you know, brothers and sisters, we have any sisters with us. Sometimes as a mu'min you feel that you're under a lot of pressure. So you feel the need of having someone being merciful towards you. And when you look at what has happened to Muslims worldwide, you really value mercy. You want mercy. This ummah is hungry for mercy. This ummah is hungry for justice. So when Allah Azza wa Jal tells you that I will have mercy on you, and that is the great achievement, that would mean a lot to the believer. When Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that Allah Azza wa Jal has split mercy into 100 portions, one out of 100, one portion out of 100 was distributed over the whole world. And that is the mercy that a mother would have on her child, whether it is human or animal or... And Allah has reserved 99 portions for the Day of Judgment. Every act of mercy that you find on earth is part of 100, while 99 parts are reserved for the Day of Judgment. Allahumma adkhilna fi rahmatik. Oh Allah, we ask you for your mercy. We are in dire need for the mercy of Allah. Number 6. And that is something that we look forward to, and we always think about, and we ask Allah to give to this ummah, and that is victory. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
إِنَّا لَنَنصُرُ رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْأَشْهَادِ.
We will without doubt help our messengers and those who believe in this world's life and on the Day of Resurrection. And another ayah, وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And it is due from us to give victory to those who believe. This ummah wants victory, and Allah Azza wa Jal promised it to the believers. So the moment we get our belief right, Allah Azza wa Jal will give this ummah victory. It is a promise from Allah. But we shouldn't be in a hurry. We should be patient. When one of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum went through a lot of suffering, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was kneeling on a Kaaba. So this companion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, ala tastansiru lana? O Messenger of Allah, aren't you going to ask Allah to give us victory?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat straight, and he was very upset, and he said that the nations before you, they were persecuted. So they would bring one of them, and they would place the saw on top of his head, and they would cut him into two pieces, and he would not give up his religion. And they would bring someone, and they would comb them with combs of iron that would separate between the flesh and the bone, and they would not give up their religion. In the name of Allah, this religion will be victorious until a traveler goes from Sana'a to Hadramaut, fearing no one but Allah and the wolf on their sheep, but you are a people who are in a hurry. Allah will give this ummah victory. Now this companion, whom this hadith was told to, he didn't go through some light punishment. He went through a lot. Because in the time of Umar ibn Khattab, he was asking the Sahaba al-Muhajirun what they went through. So all of the Sahabi did, without speaking, he just uncovered his back. So Umar looked at his back and he said, "I never saw something like this. What happened to you?" He said, "The mushrikeen of Quraysh would burn rocks over fire for a very long time. And then they would throw me on my naked back over these rocks. So my flesh would burn and I would smell my fat burning. So it left some very black, deep holes in his back." And Rasulullah ﷺ is telling him that you shouldn't be in a hurry, you should be patient. What have we went through? Allahu Akbar, we're living a very comfortable and easy life. We haven't been through anything. So we shouldn't be in a hurry. We should be willing to pay the price. That's the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So be patient, and the victory of Allah Azza wa Jal is on its way. It's a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal, and we know that it will happen. If it doesn't happen in our time, it will happen in our children's time. But it's going to happen. Number 7, Allah Azza wa Jal will erase their evil. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَحْسَنَ الَّذِي كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
Those who believe and work righteous deeds, from them shall we blot out all evil that may be in them, and we shall reward them according to the best of their deeds. You see, Jannah is pure. So it can only admit someone who's pure. Jannah and impurity cannot go together. See, in this dunya things are mixed up. Everything is contaminated. But in Akhirah, it's pure good or evil, hellfire. So Jannah can only admit you unless you're purified. But the problem is, there is none among us who's free of sin. So we are all contaminated, every one of us. So how can we get cleaned up? How can we wash away these sins? Allah Azza wa Jal promises that with the believers, He will erase some of their sins. There are various ways of doing that. Tawbah is one, istighfar is another, illnesses and diseases you go through, the suffering of the grave, sakarat al-maut, the pain and suffering of the Day of Judgment. And if all of that is not enough, then a person would have to spend some time in hellfire until they're cleansed. So there must be a cleaning process. But with some people, Allah Azza wa Jal loves them so much. And Allah Azza wa Jal wants to show them His favor on them. So Allah will make some of their sins in dunya hidden. And Allah Azza wa Jal will make these same sins hidden on the Day of Judgment. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam talks about a man who will come on the Day of Judgment and will be given his book of deeds. So this man, his knees are shaking because he knows what he did. So he's flipping through the pages of his life. He goes through them one by one and he sees a lot of sins. And then he reaches to the end of the book and there's plenty of sins in there, but he realizes that there's some big ones that were left out. So he asks Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, "Oh Allah, there's some things that I did that I don't see here." Allah Azza wa Jalla will tell him, "Oh my servant, I've concealed them for you in dunya and I'm going to conceal them for you today. Nobody's going to know about it. This is between me and you. It's not going to even show up in your account." So it's a transaction that is outside the book completely. And Allah Azza wa Jal is not even showing it to you. So Allah Azza wa Jal will make sitr on the believer. As long as the believer makes sitr on himself. So if you have committed a sin, a mistake, and nobody knows about it, don't go around speaking about it. Ask Allah for tawbah, make istighfar, and move on. As long as you made istighfar with sincerity and you repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah is willing to erase anything. What more mercy do you want? When a man of Banu Israel who has killed 99 innocent human beings, look at this criminal, a serial killer, he killed 99 human beings. But even though this man was such a criminal, a cold-blooded killer, there was still some good lurking in his heart. So he wanted to know if he can make tawbah. But he knows that his situation is so bad that there might even not be a chance for him to do so. So he wants to go and ask. So he says, I want to ask a question. Can you show me somebody who has knowledge? They showed him somebody who was an abid. He wasn't a scholar. So he goes to this abid. This abid is somebody who is very involved in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he looks down upon sins and he frowns upon these major sins. So this man goes to him and tells him, I've killed 99 human beings. Can Allah forgive me? He said, what have you done? Allah can never forgive such a person. What does he do? He kills him. It shows you how terrible the situation of this man was. Because he didn't like this fatwa, he ended up killing the man. That's how easy killing was to him. That's how simple it was to take away a life, a sacred life of a human being. And he's killing a abid, somebody who's close to Allah. He just killed him because he didn't like his opinion. But still there was some good in his heart. He wants to try again. This time, they direct him to the right person, a scholar. He goes to the scholar and asks him. The scholar tells him, who can stand between you and Tawbah? Who is it who can prevent you from Tawbah? Allah will accept your Tawbah, but you have to leave this town because this is a town of evil. And you have to go to that other town because there are good people over there who will assist you in worshipping Allah. So the scholar said, yes, you have a chance. You have a hope. However, everything in this town is reminding you with sin. You will associate these memories. And that will keep on that cycle of sin going on. So you have to change your environment. So this man left. He sacrificed and he made hijrah. And he left. It was the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jalla that he dies before he reaches the other town. So the angels of mercy and the angels of punishment come down. And each one of these angels is claiming his soul. The angels of punishment say he belongs to us because he did not reach the other town yet. So he should go to hellfire. While the angels of mercy say no, he belongs to us because he came out with the intention of Tawbah. And they couldn't solve this dispute. So Allah Azza wa Jal sends down another angel to solve the dispute among them. So this angel comes and says, the way you solve this problem is you measure the distance between the place where he died and his original town. And you measure the distance between the place where he died and the other town. If you find him closer to his town, then he should go to hellfire. If you find him closer to the other town, the town of Tawbah, then he goes to Jannah. This hadith is in Bukhari. Rasulullah ﷺ says he was actually closer to his town. So where does he belong? He belongs to hellfire. But Rasulullah ﷺ says, when the angels were measuring the distance, Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the earth to change its dimensions. So the distance between him and his town was expanded, and the distance between him and the other town was retracted. So when they measured the distance, they found him closer to the town of Tawbah, so he went to Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jal could have made him die closer to the other town, right? He could have died closer to the other town. But Allah Azza wa Jal wants to show us how willing he is to give mercy on his servant who wants Tawbah, who wants forgiveness. That Allah Azza wa Jalla is willing to change the dimensions of the earth, the permanent dimensions of the earth, Allah is willing to change them just so that He can give forgiveness and grant Tawbah to His servant. So what can stand you between you and Tawbah? Nothing. Ask Allah for forgiveness, He will forgive you. Make Tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jalla and He will accept it. As long as you repent and you feel sorry for what you've done. Because Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ النَّدَمُ. That Tawbah is regret. The most important element of Tawbah is to feel sorry for what you've done. And then you ask Allah Azza wa Jal and be assured that Allah Azza wa Jal is merciful and forgiving. And dear brothers and sisters, if you've attended any of my talks previously, it's probable that you've already heard this hadith from me. I've repeated this hadith so many times. But the reason is because I'm delivering these talks in a Western country where Muslims are surrounded with evil from every direction, where a Muslim feels it difficult to follow religion. So what happens sometimes is that you break and you fall. There's good in your heart, but the pressure around you is too much. So you end up descending deep in this dungeon of darkness, this endless pit. And it's taking you away and away from the religion until you reach to a level where you think that you are too dirty to become a Muslim. Where you're too low. Where you're too degraded to become a servant of Allah. So you kind of give up. You try to get away from the sin, but it's always pulling you towards it. But I think that this story tells you that you should never lose hope. You never ever lose hope. Keep on trying. If you lose this battle, if you lose this battle with shaitan, keep on going. You might end up losing the second battle. But the most important thing is that you don't lose the war. Keep on fighting. One day is for you, the other day is against you. But Allah will reward you for that effort. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا The ones who strive in our cause, Allah will guide them. Keep on trying. Pull yourself out of that pit hole until you can stand up strong on your feet. And follow the advice of the scholar. Leave the environment of sin. Leave it behind you. Stick around with the brothers who can help you. The sisters also should support each other. Brothers, you support each other. Because you're living in a different, difficult environment. So sisters, you assist each other, the brothers assist each other, and get over try to avoid the bickering and the jealousy and all of this animosity that shaitan tries to bring among you, because shaitan knows the value of unity. And it will keep on trying to break it. So keep in mind that you are in a battle with shaitan. Never lay down your arms. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, when he was passing away, he fell unconscious. And then he said, not yet, not yet, not yet. His son, Abdullah, was amazed. Because, you know, you might think that maybe his father was saying that I don't want to die yet. Which is not good. So when his father woke up, he said, oh my father, why were you saying not yet? Imam Ahmad said, Iblis came to me. Shaitan came to me and said, oh Ahmad, you've slipped out of my hands. Ahmad ibn Hanbal was telling him, not yet. Not until I die. The battle between me and you is not over yet. I'm not going to lay down my arms until my soul leaves my body. So let's all make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jalla and let's all ask Allah for forgiveness. Don't delay it, do it now. Ask Allah to forgive you and say, Astaghfirullah al-Azim wa atubu ilayh. Number 8, love among themselves. Love among the believers.
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سيجعل لهم الرحمن ودا.
On those who believe and work deeds of righteousness, will Allah most gracious bestow love. Allah will make the believers love each other. But it's a struggle to get there. Because Shaitan doesn't care about the enemies. Shaitan doesn't care about the enemies of Allah. He doesn't care if they're united. In fact, he loves it when they're united. But shaitan doesn't like it when the believers are united. So he keeps on trying to cause dissent among them. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ Allah Azza wa Jalla says that shaitan is trying to cause disunity among them. So Allah is warning us that shaitan is out there to get you, to cause disunity among you. But if you are strong on your iman, Allah Azza wa Jal will not give shaitan sultan over you. And you find that the believers who reach that level have so much love for al-mu'mineen. They just love the believers. They're willing to die for their brothers. They're willing to give up the entire world for the brothers. And that is one of the attributes of a Ta'if al-Mansura also. This victorious sect, Allah describes them in Qur'an, أَذِلَّ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ They're very humble and kind with the believers. أَعِزَّ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ And they're very stern and harsh with the enemy of Allah. While it's a sign of nifaq to hate the Muslims and to always criticize them and to always praise the disbelievers. That's a sickness in the heart. If we feel love towards the disbelievers, and you feel some repulsion from the believers, you don't like the way they dress, you don't like the way they look, you don't like the way they act, that's not a good sign. Because that could be a sign of an effect. You should not like wrong, regardless of who's doing it, even if it's a believer, but you should love the person because of his iman. You should love the person because he wants to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. So if he dresses in a certain way and looks in a certain way, because he wants to be like Rasulullah, that is something that you should love. Because Rasulullah says, Al-mar'u ma'a min ahab, you will be with the ones whom you love. If you love the disbelievers, you will be with them on the Day of Judgment. If you love the believers, you will be with them on the Day of Judgment. 9. No effort is wasted.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا.
Nothing is wasted. Because sometimes you feel that your effort is not paying off. You know, I am manning this da'wah table and we're giving out da'wah material. Nobody is responding. People are not interested. I've been here for days, nobody became Muslim. You know, I feel that I'm wasting my time. Or I'm giving this brother nasiha, he doesn't want to listen. You need to keep in mind that none of your effort is wasted. And you have to keep in mind that success is not about numbers. Success is not quantity. Because Rasulullah ﷺ says, I've seen on the Day of Judgment a prophet with 10 followers, a prophet with 5 followers, a prophet with 2 followers, a prophet with 1 follower, and a prophet with no followers at all. So it means that this prophet was making da'wah for all of his life, no one responded to his da'wah, so he comes on the Day of Judgment alone. Did this prophet fail? He succeeded, even though nobody believed in him, because he did what he had to do. So you continue with your work, and be assured that Allah Azza wa Jalla will not waste your effort. إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا. Allah will pay you back more than what you did. 10. Protection from shaitan.
إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ.
No authority has he over those who believe and put their trust in their Lord. Put your trust in your Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal will protect you from shaitan. And in the hadith that we mentioned in Khutbat al-Jum'ah, we talked about how Allah Azza wa Jal will protect you from shaitan when you go to sleep because you recite that ayat al-Kursi. So the mu'min, you know, when we say a mu'min, it's because the mu'min is using the weapons that Allah has given him. A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim is a sword. The dhikr of Allah is a sword. Ayat al-Kursi is a sword against shaitan. So when you use all of these arms that Allah has provided you with, it protects you from shaitan. He has no control over you. While with the kuffar, إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا الشَّيَاطِينَ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ تَأُزُّهُمْ أَزَّا. The shayateen are in full control of al-kuffar, herding them like cattle. By the way, with a lot of the things that are happening around us, and with the enemies of Allah fighting the Ummah, some of their decisions, believe it or not, are made by shaitan. You shouldn't necessarily assume that there's this separation between shaitan and his followers. The imam of the camp of evil is Iblis. And we know that there is shayateen al-jinn, and there's shayateen al-ins. It's in Quran and Sunnah. That there are shayateen among the jinn, and there's shayateen among al-ins. يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Quran that they reveal to each other. So it goes both ways. So shaytan reveals to them, and they reveal to shaytan. So shaytan can benefit from some human beings. Some human beings, believe it or not, can teach shaytan. This joke, I'm not going to mention the name, it's a joke that was made on a president of an Arab government. It says that Shaitan came to this president and was whispering to this president his plan. So Shaitan is whispering to the president his plan. So now this president is responding back to Shaitan, giving him another plan. So he whispers in the ear of Iblis his plan. So Iblis looks around and says, "Ittaqillah, fear Allah." So the plan was so bad that even Shaitan couldn't swallow it. So, but it happens that, like for example, when Iblis came to Mecca, when they were making shura on how to deal with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was Abu Jahl who gave the right opinion that Shaitan, Iblis, accepted. So Abu Jahl was so good and evil that even Shaitan would go along with his opinion. So you need protection from the shayateen. You need protection from them. And only Allah Azza wa Jal can give you that protection. Wallahi, yani ikhwa, sometimes you feel very sad that the Muslims are asleep. They don't realize what's going on around them. Brothers and sisters, there's a great conspiracy against Islam. There is a conspiracy against the religion. There are attempts by the enemy of Allah to make you follow a watered down religion, and they're spending lots of money and lots of effort for that purpose. And they're not going to do it by their own people. They're going to use Muslims to do it for them. They're going to use the fifth column among us, al-munafiqun, to do that. And some of these munafiqeen could be men of knowledge. So you have to be very aware. Just follow Shaitan. You don't have to learn this from the media or go to these conspiracy books. It is right there in Quran. Look at the worst statements you find by the enemies of Allah, quoted in the media. The worst that they say. And then remember when Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. Hatred has appeared from their mouths, but what their hearts conceal is greater. All of these statements are just the tip of the iceberg. You haven't seen anything. Believe it when Allah Azza wa Jalla tells you in Quran, وَإِنْ كَانَ مَكْرُهُمْ لِتَزُولَ مِنْهُ الْجِبَالِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says they are plotting against you, and their plotting is sufficient to move mountains out of their place. The plotting is so bad. Makru layli wa nahar. So we have to wake up. The problem is that we are put to sleep by the enemies of Allah. 11. Allah will give you steadfastness. You need this because your breath will, you will have a short breath. You wouldn't be able to cope with what's coming. There's a lot of trials waiting for you if you're a believer. You should expect that. So you need to have thabat. And this issue of thabat was so concerning even to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Shayyabatni Hud." Surah Hud made my hair gray. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that this surah concerned me so much that it changed the color of my hair. What was the ayah in Hud? "Fastaqim kama umirt." Stay on the straight path as you were commanded. It's very easy to be on the straight path in this moment. But will you have the consistency to remain on it for years and years and years without diverting one way or the other? So Rasulullah ﷺ used to make the dua again and again. Ya muqallib al-qulubi wal-absar, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Oh, the one who overturns the hearts, make our hearts steadfast on your religion. Because the word qalb in Arabic comes from taqallab, something that turns upside down. If you have water boiling in a container, when water boils, the bottom goes to the top, and then the top goes to the bottom, and the circle continues. So it's going up and down. Taqallab al-ma' fil qidr. And that was the name given to the heart. Hearts can flip, they can change. If you want to see a crude manifestation of that, just look at your children when they're young. They could be crying, you tickle them, they suddenly laugh. So they could go from being sad to happy in the spur of a moment. So the heart can change. And we need to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give us thabat. And that is something that Allah promised the believers.
يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah will establish in strength. Allah will give steadfastness to those who believe with the word that stands firm in this world and in the hereafter. But Allah will leave to stray those who do wrong. Allah does what He will.
يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ وَالْأَبْصَارِ ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَى دِينِكَ.
12.
What's the most important part of a story? The beginning or the middle of the or the end? The end. The end is the most important. And Allah promises the believers with a good ending. The beginning might be sour, but the end is good. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ طُوبَ لَهُمْ وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ.
For those who believe and work righteousness is every blessedness and a beautiful place of final return. The end belongs to the believer.
إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
The earth belongs to Allah, and Allah will give it to whomever He wills, and the end belongs to al-muttaqeen. So Allah will give the believers a good ending. Don't worry about what's happening now. Think long term. Plan ahead. And be assured that the end belongs to you if you are a believer. That was number... So now it's 12. Next point is 12. 13. Allah will save you. In this world, imagine that you are in a ocean, in the middle of a storm, high waves, windy, cold, and you're in a boat. See, that's the ultimate image of desire for delivery. This is even used by Allah in Quran. Allah says about the mushrikeen that when they're in the sea and the waves are pushing them and they realize that there's no one who could save them then but Allah, whose name do they invoke? They invoke the name of Allah. But as soon as they are delivered to safety, they go back to their shirk. An experiment was done on non-Muslims, Christians. And they were asked, when you're in deep trouble, whose name do you invoke? Do you invoke the name of Mary? Do you invoke the name of Jesus? Or do you say, save me, Lord? Save me, God. Naturally, the human being in that moment would go back to the fitrah and would ask Allah Azza wa Jal. But as soon as they would be delivered to safety, they would go back to shirk again. To be saved, you need to believe and Allah Azza wa Jal will deliver you to safety. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
ثُمَّ نُنَجِّي رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كَذَلِكَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
In the end, we deliver our messengers and those who believe. Thus is it fitting on our part that we should deliver those who believe. With al-mushrikeen in Mecca, when they're in deep trouble, they wouldn't invoke the name of Hubal or Lat or Al-Uzza, because they know, you know, when they're in that difficulty, the veils of darkness are lifted and they come to terms with what they already know, that these are stones and rocks and they can do us no good. And somebody who believes that Jesus is his Lord, how could he ask Jesus to save him from that trouble when Jesus himself was crucified on the cross and couldn't do anything for himself, according to their belief? In fact, according to the Bible, he made the statement on the cross, O God, how come you have forsaken me? But Yunus alayhi salam, who was in deep trouble, and as far as we know, apparently no one was ever in trouble as he was. He was in the stomach of a fish, under three layers of darkness. the darkness of the stomach of the fish, the darkness of the night, and the darkness of the sea. Yunus alayhi salam, as it says in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, he fell unconscious when he was swallowed by the whale. And when he woke up, maybe he initially thought that he's in his grave. But as soon as he would touch around him, he would come to realize that he's in the stomach of a fish. Now, my brothers and sisters, the stomach of a fish is not a very comfortable place to be in. It's not a 5-star hotel. Stomach of a fish is designed to do one thing, and that is to digest food. And for those of you who know about fish, the most powerful stomachs are those of fish. Because the fish doesn't even have to chew its food. It just swallows it whole. And the digestive enzymes are so powerful and strong, you can give this sardine a few minutes in the stomach of the fish and it will melt. It will just dissolve. The enzymes are so powerful that the flesh just dissolves. It falls apart. And you're left with a bone. And that was exactly what was happening to Sayyidina Yunus. His skin was peeling off. And the enzymes were hitting his muscles, his flesh. And it was burning him. Because it was saved and delivered to the shore. وَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِنْ يَقْطِينَ. That Allah grew a plant of yaqteen over Yunus. How come? It is to protect him from the light, because now he's without skin. And the light would burn his flesh. So Allah made that plant grow over his body until his skin can grow back again. So Yunus was in a very difficult situation. He knew that only Allah could deliver him from that danger. So what did he do? He made sujood to Allah. And he said, "Oh Allah, I'm making sujood to you in a place where no one has ever made sujood to you before." And then he said,
"La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin."
Oh Allah, there's no God but you. Glory be to you. I have wronged myself. I've committed wrong. The dhikr of Allah is light. Rasulullah ﷺ says in the hadith that the angels see the halaqa of dhikr on this world like you would see a star in the heavens. So that dhikr of Yunus, even though it was coming from the depth of the ocean, in the darkness of the night, it was like a beam of light in the heavens and the angels could see it. Yunus had some very good connections. He had the best lawyers. Who were the lawyers for Yunus alayhi salam? They weren't from London or from Washington DC or from places where you have the best lawyers. These lawyers were the angels of Allah. He had some very good connections. Yunus wasn't necessarily known among the people of dunya. But the angels knew him and they knew him very well. Why? Because of his dhikr of Allah before. Because of his amal salih before, the angels were familiar with him. They would always see this light coming from Yunus alayhi salam, so they knew him very well. So they went, the angels went and appealed for him with Allah. The angels went to Allah and said, "Oh Allah, is this the sound of your servant Yunus?" Allah said, "Yes." The angels said, "Aren't you going to have mercy on him?" So the angels were interceding. They were appealing on behalf of Yunus alayhi salam. He didn't have money to pay a lawyer. But he had the angels on his side. And they went and interceded with Allah. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, "Yes, I'm going to have mercy on him." And Allah tells us the reason why. Allah says,
فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ.
If it wasn't because Yunus used to make the tasbih before, he would have remained in the stomach of the whale until the Day of Judgment. Because of the iman of Yunus alayhi salam, because of his track record, because of his good deeds, that's why Allah azza wa jal helped him in that difficult moment. Be mindful of Allah. Allah will be mindful of you. Get to know Allah in moments of ease. Allah will know you in moments of difficulty. and memorize this dua. The dua of Yunus is so powerful. Allah mentions it in Quran.
La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin.
And this dua saved Yunus alayhi salam. One of the Sahaba came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "O Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, is this dua special for Yunus or it's for every believer?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, this dua is for every believer. Don't you see that after Allah mentioned the dua, Allah said,
وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
And thus we save the believers. So this dua is not only going to work for Yunus, it's going to work for every one of you. When you're in trouble, say, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And comprehend its meaning. Oh Allah, there is no God but you. In other words, no one can help me but you. Glory be to you. I have wronged myself. So you need to admit your guilt. And Allah loves it when you humble yourself. 14. Allah will guide you. I might say that this is contradicting. You're already believing, so you're already guided. How come you need guidance? Well, the thing is that even if you're a believer, you still badly need the guidance of Allah. In fact, so your need for hidayah is so great that the only dua that is mandatory for you to repeat is
اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ
Your salah is invalid without it. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. Even though you're muhtadi and you're praying, you still need to ask Allah 17 times in Salat al-Fard and many more times in Salat al-Nafil. You need to ask Allah to guide you. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات يهديهم ربهم بإيمانهم.
Those who believe and work righteousness, their Lord will guide them because of their faith. Through your faith, Allah will guide you. 15. Blessings. Allah will bless you.
وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ
If the people of the towns had but believed and feared Allah, we should indeed have opened out to them all kinds of blessings from heaven and earth, but they rejected the truth, and we brought to them to book for their misdeeds. Allah is promising the people if they believe, barakat. But this is more of a collective effort. Now, when we believe, we shouldn't believe for blessings in dunya. Rasulullah ﷺ would not promise the Sahaba dunya. When the Ansar came to Rasulullah, and Rasulullah said, I want from you to protect me like you protect your wealth and your family. The Ansar said, this is our duty. What is your part of the bargain? Rasulullah ﷺ said, Al-Jannah. I can promise you nothing but Jannah. I'm not going to promise you government. I'm not going to promise you wealth. I can only promise you Jannah. So when we work, Islamic work, we should do it for the sake of Allah and getting the reward of Allah in Akhirah. But Allah tells us that if this earth has sins, the sins take away the barakah. And if there's iman, it would bring the barakah. When will this earth be ruled by Islam? In the time of who? Isa alayhi salam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there is so much barakah in those days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the milk coming from a cow will be enough for an entire tribe. And one fruit will be enough for a clan. Just one fruit will be so big it will be enough for a plan. And there's so much barakah on earth, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَوْ أَلْقَيْتَ حَبَّكَ عَلَى الصَّفَى لَنَبَتَتْ If you throw a seed on a solid bedrock, it would grow. Just throw it on a rock and it would grow. That's how much barakah and blessings there is in land. Why? because the world is governed by Islam. But because of the dhulm, the barakah is taken out. It's taken away. 16. Peace and security. Everyone claims that they want to bring peace to the world. And we see the big liars coming on TV today and saying that we're going to promise these people peace, and we're going to free them from their misery, and we're going to give them a better life. Empty lies. Only Allah can give you peace. And Allah Azza wa Jal will give the believers amen. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. It is those who believe and confuse not their beliefs with wrong, truly in security, for they are on right guidance. And again, in the time of Isa, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَيُهْلِكُ اللَّهُ الْمِلَلَ كُلَّهَا فِي زَمَنِهِ إِلَّا الْإِسْلَامِ وَتَنْزِلُ الْأَمَنَةَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, and all religions will perish in his time except for Islam. And peace will descend on land. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that lions will play with camels, and tigers will play with cows, and wolves will play with sheep, and children will play with snakes, and nobody's harmed. So the peace will transcend and go beyond humans, even to the animal world. Not only does Islam benefit the life of man, but it even benefits what they call the ecosystem. Everybody's not talking about the environment. Peace surrounds the entire planet. Lions are going to be so happy and so well fed that they could play with camels. Children can play around with snakes. I mean, how much fun would it be for our children to play with snakes? I'm sure that all of our kids would want to do that now, but it's too dangerous. I mean, to play with a snake, I think it's a lot of fun, especially for kids. But they wouldn't be able to do that until the time of Isa. Amana, tinzul al-amana ta'ala al. Peace will come down on earth. 17. Forgiveness. Allah will forgive you. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ.
To those who believe and do deeds of righteousness, has Allah promised forgiveness. Number 18. Allah will pay you in full. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَيُوَفِّيهِمْ أُجُورَهُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. As to those who believe and work righteousness, Allah will pay them in full their reward, but Allah loves not those who do wrong. 19. No fear and no grief. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِندَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ.
On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Disbelievers have the upper hand, then what are the implications of that? There's a problem with our iman. That's the only way you can explain it. Same thing with number 22. Allah will protect the believers. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُدَافِعُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ خَوَّانٍ كَفُورٍ. Verily Allah will defend from ill those who believe. Verily Allah loves not any that is a traitor to faith or shows ingratitude. Allah Azza wa Jalla will protect his religion. And Allah will preserve Quran. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there will be a ta'ifa of my ummah who are carrying the banner of truth until the day of judgment. They will never cease to exist. So don't worry about the safety of Islam. It's going to happen with you or without you. What you should be concerned with is whether you will play a role or not. You should be concerned on whether you would have a share in that or not. Because the religion really doesn't need you.
You are the one who needs it. This religion is protected, whether you work for it or you don't. Allah is the one who granted this protection. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِلْ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ. If you retreat, you turn your back to this religion, Allah will bring some other people who will carry it. So we should be very concerned on our role, not necessarily the safety of the religion. What will I do? What can I give? 23, a good life. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّن ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
Whoever works righteousness, man or woman, and has faith, verily to him will we give a new life, a life that is good and pure. So brothers, the believers have a very good life. And don't be fooled by what you see. Because sometimes what you see is not what you get. Sometimes you could see this wealthy, this believer who has dunya under his hands and he seems to be very happy. But you don't really know what's going on inside. And he doesn't really know what the believers are feeling because he never felt it. So he feels happy with what he has. He doesn't know that there's something much better than what he has. Ibn Taymiyyah says, if the kings know the happiness and pleasure that we have, they would try to take it away from us by the tip of their sword. But they never experienced it. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. If you turn away from the remembrance of Allah, you will have a very distressful life, a life of despair. Be assured that anybody who is not on the path of the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla, on the true path, is having a life of misery, even if you think otherwise, and even if he thinks otherwise. While the believers who are apparently going through suffering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them some feeling in their heart that could not be bought with the wealth of this dunya. Look at Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah says, if my enemy throws me in jail, that is a chance for me to make dhikr of Allah. If my enemy drives me out of my land, that is siyaha fi sabilillah. I will make contemplation in my travels. If my enemy kills me, then killing me is shahada. So what can my enemy do with me? Because I carry my Jannah in my heart. My Jannah is right here inside my heart. They can't take it away from me. They could do with this body whatever they want, but they can't take away my Jannah because it's given to me by Allah. Allah gives them, subhanAllah, because the believer needs help. So for example, with the Sahabi of Rasulullah ﷺ who was captured by the enemy, by Quraysh, and they wanted to execute him, Allah Azza wa Jal was giving him a karama. His captive would say, the woman who was guarding him, she would say, that I would see with him fruit of winter and summer, and the fruit of summer and winter. He would get fruits from Jannah. Because of the difficulty that they're going through and the patience that they show, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a secret in the heart that only them can experience, and something that is cannot be described with words. You know, we can talk about it, but we cannot really taste it. Allah gives that to the believers. Allah promised you with a good life. حياتا طيبة. And finally, number 25, establishment. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلَيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ.
Allah has promised to those among you who believe and work righteous deeds that He will of a surety grant them in the land inheritance of power as He granted it to those before them, that He will establish in authority their religion, the one which He has chosen for them, and that He will change their state after the fear in which they lived to one of security and peace. They will worship Me alone and not associate aught with Me. If any do reject faith after this, they are rebellious and wicked. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَالِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ أَنَّ مُلْكَ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah has brought the whole earth in front of my eyes, and He told me that the kingdom of my ummah will reach to all of it. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. O Allah, we ask You to make us of the believers, and we ask You to give us the 25 promises that You promised the believers. O Allah azza wa jal, we ask You to make us of the believers, to forgive our sins, to accept our tawbah. We seek refuge in You from hellfire. O Allah, we ask You Jannah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
He doesn't care if they're united. In fact, He loves it when they're united.